listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Welcome to the Paul McGuire Report all across the USA, West Coast, East Coast, North and South. Welcome for those of you in the European Union, those of you in Great Britain, the Middle East, South America, Africa, all over the world. We thank you for your emails. We thank you for contacting us. And thank you most of all for listening to the Paul McGuire Report and spreading the prophetic word of God, God's word, and applying God's word to today. Because guess what? You've probably realized this, I'm sure. And that is that God's word is applicable to today, up to the second. There are things in the Bible, for example, Jesus Christ talked about the signs of the times. And the signs of the times are a whole bunch of things listed in Matthew 24 and 25. And they include things like earthquakes, droughts, pandemics, wars, rumors of wars, and all these other cataclysmic events. And so when you turn on the television, what do you see reporting on? Well, you basically see wars and rumors of wars and the rest of the signs of the times. How could the Bible be so accurate? Because the Bible is supernaturally written by God. God wrote the Bible through the power of the Holy Spirit as it moved upon men, and they were able to write about future challenges and future events and how God's people could both be saved and delivered from those events that are going to come upon the earth. So that's the essence of Bible prophecy. Now, we're talking on this program to people on many different continents. The exact number of people, I have no idea. But I do know this, that I learned a long time ago in ministry, in evangelism, as a professional contemporary Christian music concert promoter on Broadway and Times Square, at the Lambs Club, where we did television, we did Christian theater. I hosted contemporary Christian music concerts in a Broadway theater. And it was a very beautiful establishment that this church ministry was able to get for practically nothing. And thousands of people came to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, I had barely been saved about a year and a half, something like that, maybe 2 years at the most. I don't know if it was 2 years. Let's be generous and say I was 2 years old in the Lord. I was still a babe in Christ. But in the time that I accepted the Lord, miraculously hitchhiking on the back roads of Missouri, fleeing from a Christian denominational religious retreat, that was an intensive time for me. I mean, I didn't, you know, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I asked him to be Lord of my life. I turned my life over to Jesus to follow him. And I did what he said. I renewed my mind with the word of God. I would play a cassette tape recorder for hours a day, just having the word of God being played in the background wherever I was. Why did I do that? Because I was intentional. I wanted to renew my mind with the word of God. And here's the thing, and you may suffer from this too. I have two contradictory emotions and feelings. One is, probably like a lot of you, I get bored extremely easily. Okay, so I'm not interested in signing up for Boredom 101. I'm really not. But I am passionately interested in the end product, which is renewing my mind with the Word of God, which comes through exposing your mind to God's word. And so I would make sure these tapes of all the gospels, of the whole New Testament, the Old Testament. Man, I just didn't concentrate on the New Testament. I played that cassette player in either Old King James or New King James. One was narrated by this English guy, Alexander Scorby. Back then, he was like the only guy. There may have been some others, but he was like the number one guy known for reading the entire Bible. Alexander Scorby had this English theatrical accent. So, because I hated boredom, I couldn't sit there in boredom daydreaming, okay? Especially when it came to passages I didn't understand or passages that were difficult for me to understand. The only way I could solve this problem is I took the advice of a Christian minister. He said, don't worry about understanding everything first when you read the Word of God. He said, because when you're new to the Word of God, you're not going to understand every sentence, every paragraph. You're not going to understand it all. So what you got to do in those places is you have to let go, you have to trust God, and you keep embedding the Word of God into your heart, soul, and mind. And then gradually, as you do that repetitively over time, you will find that you have this incredible understanding of the complexities of the Word of God. Now, that's a true principle. I have found that that works. So when I do like heavy-duty Bible study or heavy-duty Bible listening or whatever it is, and another pastor told me, just read the Bible. Make you know, several goals for yourself. So, for example, read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and don't worry about if you understand every single word, every passage, every chapter, etc. Just keep going. You don't glide over it. You read it. And what happens is your subconscious mind or your spirit man will absorb it all, digest it all, and eventually you will understand it. So what happened to me, because I listened to the Word of God so often, so repetitively, number one is it caused me by default to just memorize Bible verses like crazy. The easy way. And that's the way I wanted it, the easy way. It caused me to know the Word of God. It caused me to get the Word of God in my heart and all these powerful things. So one of the most powerful spiritual tools that I've discovered in times of intense spiritual battle is unplug the stupid TV set or whatever internet thing you're doing and just watch or listen or read the Word of God. You can just go to Google, for crying out loud. I do this all the time. You go to Google. This is what I would do. I'm not plugging Google over the others. It just came to my mind. You go to Google or your favorite search engine, okay? And then you type in like Matthew 24, 25, New King James Version, okay? And I type in out usually after that Bible Gateway, because it's a software that nicely displays the chapters or Bible verses. And so I read that, I study that, and then I can compare it to other translations. And I really get my mind renewed, and I really get a powerful revelation of what God's Word is trying to say. And it's awesome. It's like taking super B vitamins, you know, your spiritual life will rocket. You'll be like those guys or girls in the SpaceX rocket. I don't even know if they have people in the SpaceX rocket. Assuming that they do, you see those SpaceX rockets, like a science fiction movie, launching off the rocket launching pad near Cape Canaveral, and they fire into the air with smoke and flames. They're impressive. Well, that's what it's like when the ordinary Christian, picture this scenario with me, most, quote, ordinary Christians, and by the way, that's an oxymoron. You cannot be a true Christian, a true servant of God, and be an ordinary Christian. They're contradictory. No true Christian can be ordinary. Why? Because all things are possible with God. Therefore, if you are a true born-again Christian, your life is going to be supernatural, extraordinary, and all things are possible with God. So your life is going to be a blend of incredible power, discernment, miracles, and stuff like that. It's just the way it is. Because you're not a mere mortal man or a mere mortal woman. You're a supernatural man and a supernatural woman. That's why I wrote my whole book, which is called Power from On High. I wrote that book because I'm looking at what's happening in America and around the world. I'm looking at the incredible problems that are about to come down upon the Christians in America and around the world and come down upon Christians in America. I see that we're on a collision course with danger. And yet, at the same time, I see God's delivering hand extended to his people. I see God's angelic armies poised to defeat the evil one. And I see God communicating to his people with the armies of heaven. And God is saying to his people, if you will walk in my ways, if you will seek my face, I will deliver you. I will establish you. I will do mighty works and mighty miracles through you. Those are all the things that we get as joint heirs with Jesus. So one of the first things that we need to do when we're in the heat of the battle is we make sure before we go into the heat of the battle that we get down to it and renew our minds with the Word of God. Like big time. Renew our minds with the Word of God, saturate our minds with the Word of God. And when we do that, when we renew our minds with the Word of God, it's like God has created us with a brain like a computer. When we renew our minds with the Word of God, we are supercharged. We are super enhanced. And we have all these supernatural abilities, gifts, talents, etc., that automatically begin to kick into gear when we do our part, which is to renew our mind with the Word of God. Now, that's intense. That should be. There should be no such thing as the ordinary Christian life. The ordinary Christian life should be the extraordinary or supernatural Christian life. Okay, so we see these problems, challenges on the horizon. In America, in Europe, in other places in the world. We see if we look at it through natural eyes, potentially we see some very disturbing prophetic signs of the times on the horizon that potentially could cause great upheaval, great turmoil, great disaster and distress. These are the things that Jesus Christ said we're coming at the end of the age. So this is heavy stuff. This isn't, you know, your run-of-the-mill stuff. This is the stuff that constitutes the end of the age. So let me read you in Matthew 24:25 what exactly Jesus says is going to happen at the end of the age. And let's look at it. Matthew 24. Chapter 25. So let me read you this, okay? And I think you'll be blessed by it. Okay, Matthew 24, verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another, not one stone shall be left here upon another, that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will all these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated for all nations' sake, for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So in Matthew 24:25, these are called the signs of the times. These are the super signs that are going to happen immediately before the return of Christ. And so Jesus is saying, number one, make sure nobody deceives you. So what he's saying is he's giving them a heads up. He's saying, hey, look, in the last days, there's going to be a lot of people, false prophets, etc., who are going to run around deceiving God's people and regular people. Don't be deceived by them. The only way to do that is to know the Word of God. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places." So when it says these words here, Jesus Christ says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." The actual translation of those words, including "for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom," what that actually means is that those words come from the words ethnos. E-T-H-N-O-S, ethnos, which means the wars and rumors of wars will happen between one ethnic group, ethnos, and another ethnic group, ethnos. So that means that in the last days, there will be an increase of warfare among different races warring with one another. Ethnos, and it's a serious thing. We see the beginning of it in our nation. And then things like lawlessness will abound. You know, we live in a time where even in my lifetime, and probably many of your lifetimes, I am seeing things on television, all kinds of things. I am seeing things on television that I never would have believed I would have ever seen in my entire life. It's so grotesque. It's so evil. It's so demonic. And it didn't used to be. It didn't even exist, hardly at all. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, just let's name a few things. I'm not trying to gross you out, but let's get a grip. Human sex trafficking of little boys, little girls, women and men, but most particularly, little boys and little girls are the victims of sex trafficking gangs, and they're shot up with dope so they can control them. They're shot up with heroin so they're on a leash, and then they're sold to men or whoever all across the United States or to the world, and men use them. These little boys and little girls, they use them for their sadistic, it's not just sexual pleasure, it's perverse, sadistic sexual pleasure. and they use them, and they torture them. And many times, depending upon how sick and depraved they are, they torture them to death. Now, I was sitting down with my friend Troy Anderson in, near Santa Monica. No, Santa Monica by the beach, in a famous hotel. We were meeting in the lobby, and we had a film deal meeting. Need your prayers for the film deal. It's very difficult to get a Christian Bible prophecy movie made in Hollywood. So I was sitting down talking to one of the producers, and who was also a lawyer. And when I saw him in the lobby, I'd met with him a couple of times in this hotel, but when I saw him walk into the lobby, his face looked lifeless, lacking color. He looked pale in the face, like the wind was knocked out of him. So, you know, I approached him subtly and slowly and gently struck up a conversation. And he shared with me that another project he's working on, which was a docudrama based on a real story that exposes the dark side, the evil side of sex trafficking in America and around the world. He had been up last night with other producers, directors, the editor, the cameraman, et cetera, to watch a preview of this film. And this film, so I'm going to give you a count to 10, because I'm going to go into, as delicately as I can, some very objectionable adult material that you need to know about, and it's essential to relay this to you. I can't edit it out because it's vital that you hear it, but here's your warning. This is not what you want to play in front of young teenagers, young children, preteens, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to count to 10. That's your warning to turn down the radio. You can re-listen to it later because you, as an adult, should know what's going on. But I don't want to surprise you with it, okay? So I'm going to count to 10. That's your warning to turn down the volume or turn it off and then listen to it later privately. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Bam. For adults only. So this film was made by Christians. And this film is a brutal expose of exactly what happens to little children, little boys, little girls, girls and boys, young women, young men. This is a brutal film that exposes exactly what happens to these children, these young children, who are sold into sex slavery. It is accurate. It's truthful. And I'm going to be very minimal with my description, and as he was to me, okay? He simply said that, I have to be very careful about this because I really don't want to repeat what I heard, but I have to convey enough of it to see, there's a lot of people who have a misconception that this is just, well, I don't believe there's such thing as regular porno. All porno comes from pornia or pornography or sexual immorality in the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about mystery Babylon rising in power in the last days. But one of the things we learn about mystery Babylon is it controls all the people in the earth. Mystery Babylon controls them primarily through two things. Pornia, which is pornography, various forms of sexual immorality, and Mystery Babylon controls the masses through pharmakia, which is drugs, alcohol, psychedelic drugs, marijuana, LSD, stuff like that. So Mystery Babylon has two primary control mechanisms over the human race. Pharmakia, which is drugs, and pornea, which is sexual immorality, and pornography. Okay, so he was giving me a description of a scene. I think they had snuck in their cameraman. And so they were shooting a scene on film of an actual child film. Okay. They snuck in their cameras, and they somehow, somebody who had some integrity, allowed them in there to shoot this stuff. So it is selectively put into their documentary. And what it was a picture. I have to be careful about this. You know, I'm being tortured inwardly right now, just thinking about how I'm going to convey this to you without just decimating your mind. Okay, so I'm just going to give it a shot. The scene that he described that they captured on film came from a real child sex trafficking ring, which in this scene, there's a little girl, so I'm guessing, you know, 7 years old, who's being preyed upon by a fully adult male. Now, what he said to me, he said, was so evil, so depraved, so disgusting, that he didn't have words. And this guy is a powerful lawyer. I mean, he deals with powerful cases. This is a guy that's been around the block. And he said this was one of the most disgusting, if not the most disgusting and evil things he ever saw in his life. So what it was is that this adult male was brutally raping, violating, molesting a young girl. But the level of brutality, the level of sadism, the level of evil, the level of harm, permanent harm, that was being done to this little girl was just off the charts. And he was describing about how he and all the other people in the room, I mean, they were like sick to their stomach beyond belief. Because what he told me is this genre of porn, the heavy duty sadomasochism, the violent raping, torturing of young girls and young boys. I could go on, but I'm stopping right there. He said, this is the fastest growing segment of the sex trafficking industry. Fastest growing segment is this brutal torture and sadism towards little girls and little boys. Okay? And he said, it is beyond anything you could possibly imagine. So if you think in your naivety that it somehow isn't as bad as people are telling you it is, then you're in total denial. Because look, this lawyer is a tough lawyer. He handled some high-powered criminal cases and everything else, and it was nothing. He was ashen white. The blood was drained out of his face. Because his soul was tortured, as yours would be, and mine would be. His soul was tortured to think of what they were doing to these little boys and little girls for their perverse sexual gratification. And it's epidemic. It involves millions and millions of children and little girls and little boys and women and stuff. Millions and millions of sex trafficking slaves. They're sex slaves is what they are, and they get sold out. And the area of brutality that he's talking about, the predator gets to torture the little boy or the little girl. But then, they're called snuff films, then they get to kill them at the end. Now that is so disgusting. That is so upsetting to me that emotionally I feel like it would be counterproductive. Emotionally, I feel like just turning off this recorder and not even airing this program because it's disgusting to me beyond belief. There is nothing, nothing that bothers me more than child sex trafficking, child sex torture, and all that stuff. Because there you're taking a totally innocent, pure child, and you are psychologically perverting them and destroying them on the deepest levels of their personality. So he told me he was shook up. I mean, he really was. He was shook up because he'd seen other stuff, not because he's into that. It's just that he had seen a number of it that he had to do research in the area. Just like when James Dobson of Focus on the Family, he was hired to be on the President's Commission of Pornography. They had to look at it to decide to give a report to the president. So he was doing everything he could to get the rest of the financing for this movie, to get it distributed, and he was meeting incredible resistance because there are very powerful criminal elements that control sex trafficking, and they sure don't want a documentary movie made exposing their criminal activities, and they will do anything to stop it. So that didn't happen. I'm sure it did happen 40 years ago. But if it did happen, and again, it probably did happen 40 years ago, it was on a very tiny scale. The word sex trafficking, and you know, I didn't grow up on the farm with a bunch of Mormons. The term sex trafficking wasn't even a word that people used when I was a young boy, and until much older. The term, it was only X amount of years ago that sex trafficking and that whole thing became part of the public discussion. It was an unthinkable act. And I had to do, ironically, I was helping somebody with their college assignment. And helping them find good resources, good research, and help them find accurate documentation on sex trafficking in the United States and international sex trafficking. And so I spent a lot of time with this person going over the data and statistics. This was about 3 years ago. And I was stunned to discover things like, you may have heard this, that the number one sex trafficking day in the United States of America is on Super Bowl Sunday. So Super Bowl Sunday, where people are going everywhere to watch, you know, the big football games, that also coincides with, it's the largest day for purchasing child sex slaves. Now, let's analyze that. What does that mean? It means that there is a hideous perversion in the hearts and souls, I would imagine, mainly of men, but probably women to some degree, who celebrate the Super Bowl Sunday activities by going into hotel rooms and other rooms where they've rented, I guess rented, where they've rented themselves a bunch of little girls or a bunch of little boys or whatever they want, and then they not only have sex with them, but they abuse them in a sadistic, brutal manner for their kicks. That's right in the heart of America. So if you tell me that God's judgment is not going to deal with that at some point, you're crazy. Because we're not talking about a fictional figure. We're not talking about some actor or actress who's chosen this as their profession, as tragic as that may be. We're talking about the abuse of a totally innocent child. So when I read that, to me, it's a sign of the last days, because this kind of evil is not, it's exceptional in human history. It's not the norm. Okay, so when we read these words, so it says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound. What does that mean? Lawlessness of every kind will abound. Murder, stealing, prostitution, rape, sex trafficking, drugs, killing. Any breaking of God's laws, any breaking of the law, Jesus says, in the last days, lawlessness is going to abound. That includes sex trafficking. Because why? And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So that's talking about Christians who allow their hearts to grow cold in the last days, and people involved in all kinds of sins. The reason they're able to carry out all these very evil and demonic sins, which display incredible cruelty towards young children, etc., is because, first of all, the love of many, their hearts have grown cold. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So it's like a virus spreading through society. Their hearts are growing cold because of a desensitization and promotion of evil. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And this is what the Lord is saying to us. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So this is Jesus Christ telling us what the societal, national, worldly conditions will be like. So in the research I was doing on sex trafficking, I discovered that the vast majority of the big sex traffickers, ultimately, when you go up the pyramid, they're not independent criminal organizations. They come lower down on the totem pole. The big, giant drug dealers, the big, giant sex traffickers are governments, national governments, and I don't want to name them for obvious reasons, but pick a powerful, super powerful nation. Chances are that super powerful nation may very well be involved in hideous sex trafficking. Because just like drugs, you can make money off the books, and you can finance all kinds of projects and stuff. It's evil, man, and it's not an accident that this is crescendoing in the last days. So why am I telling you all this? Well, I'll tell you why I'm telling you all this. As a regular listener to the Paul McGuire Report, we cover, we report, we analyze things from a biblical perspective. And it is important for us to communicate things in a way that other people ignore those same things. And so we communicate things that tell people about the reality of signs of the times, Bible prophecy, and then what is really happening in nations, society, America, and the world, because they're on a parallel track. It's a parallel track. So evil is exploding. Now, when you study Bible prophecy overall, you see that there are certain periods of human history where when you look at the behavior of people, the beliefs of people, what people are doing, there are a number of significant times in human history where evil becomes so outrageous, it's like the human race has crossed over the barrier. The human race has crossed over the line. Because the evil that they're doing is such an abomination to God that it demands his judgment. When those periods of history happen, and they do, the evil is so great that God must judge the nation or the people or the world that's conducting the evil. And so there's a certain point where the human race just tiptoes over the line. And they trigger the judgment of God upon their nation, society, and their world. And this happens on a cyclical basis throughout history. So, for example, let's give you the first time the human race tripped over the line, the barrier. They crossed over into great evil, and they triggered the global judgment of God. The first time God's cataclysmic judgment was released upon earth and the world occurs in the book of Genesis. And I want to read you the warning signs. Because when we know the signs of the times, we know what's going to happen next. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Look, we have hundreds of hours of me preaching and teaching Bible prophecy and the Bible at Paradise Mountain Church, conferences I've spoken at, video prophetic emergency alerts, all available for you for free. Hundreds of hours available to you for free, shot in the highest quality video. And it's all free for you to look at. You can pass the links on to your friends. I encourage you to do that and take advantage of them. It's at our free Roku channel. All you got to do is go to paulmcguire.us, click the Roku button, R-O-K-U, and you can access all this free Bible teaching and ministry, etc. Now, we also have hundreds of hours of the Paul McGuire Report in our archives that you're free to enjoy. We have the prophetic emergency alerts in video that you're free to enjoy. We have hundreds of articles with photographs free for you to be edified at paulmcguire.us. And we have links to many of the interviews that I've done, etc., that should really be a blessing to you. But you need to go to paulmcguire.us, paulmcguire.us, and take advantage of all these great free resources. Now, the only thing we can't give away for free is books, because books are the most powerful means of education, of Bible teaching there is. And books, therefore, cost the most money to produce. You get the most information, the most concentrated information, but books cost money to print, money to mail, etc., etc. So with the exception of our books, everything we offer is free for you to distribute. And we intend to keep it that way. And many of you send out our material for free. People are getting saved all over the world because of your obedience. People are coming to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of your obedience. All you have to do is send the link to your friends. And then take advantage of the financial discounts on our book bundle specials. Right now, you can get a financial discount off of Power from On High. And if you pre-order it now, you're going to get your copy mailed to you before the general public does. We have book bundle discounts on all of our books, like A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, Conquering the Matrix, so many other books, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. These books will get you up to speed. Most Christians, I'm going to be very blunt, very succinct, but very to the point. 99% of the Christians I meet are pathetically, I didn't say that to be mean, I'm just got to tell you the truth. 99% of the Christians that I meet are pathetically ill-equipped to give a ready defense for the faith of Jesus Christ, to share their faith in Jesus Christ, to share the truths of Bible prophecy. 99% of the Christians that I meet are totally ill-prepared to carry on those duties that God commands them to carry on. Now, that is not right. That is disobedience before God. And I'm going to shoot straight now, and it may hurt a little bit. But I'd rather step on your toes a wee bit and have you go, ouch, than fall into the era of a false watchman on the wall or a false prophet who pats you on the back and tells you what a wonderful job you're doing. And all I'm doing is not telling you the truth. And you're going to be horribly humiliated at the judgment seat of Christ when you discover that you didn't win anybody to Christ. You didn't partner with anybody to win for Christ. You know, think of all the Christians. I don't mean this to be mean. It's out of concern. I think of all the Christians I know. I know a lot. I've been around for a long time. When you've been around for a long time, you've seen a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of Christian leaders. You know most of the Christian leaders. You know most of the biggest Christian leaders in the nation and the world. Because after doing this for 50 years, you end up being in a room talking and meeting everybody. It just happens that way. Now, what I have learned is that the overwhelming majority of Christians, and let me say this, these Christians love the Lord. These are Christians that love the Lord. And I believe that the people I'm talking about, because of God's grace, will go to heaven. But you see, they're not going to go to heaven with any soul. They will not have won any souls. So we know biblically that all believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's different than the great white throne of judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is where all believers will go and give an account for what they did with their talents, their abilities, their time, and their money. And God will evaluate them with his Spirit, and they will be rewarded for every soul that they saved, either directly or indirectly. And they will receive what the Bible calls the Soul Winners Award for their faithfulness in soul winning. But if they have not won one single person to Christ, either directly or by partnering with somebody who is winning people to Christ, then at the judgment seat of Christ, they're going to be weeping, gnashing tears as God reveals to them, you didn't win anybody to Christ. Every year that went by, every month that went by, year after year, when the day was done and it was your time to leave the earth. This is sad. This is tragic. I'm going to let you into heaven because you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the tragedy is you did not win one single person to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's a very sobering thing. And I want to emphasize, the world has changed radically. It is no longer possible to share the gospel of Jesus Christ openly in most jobs in places like America. You'll get fired. Or to share it with your neighbors or whatever. I understand that. God understands that. It's not the freedom of religion has been encroached upon. Okay, God knows that. He takes that into account. It's not as easy. But the point I'm trying to make is what God is looking for is men and women who are faithful in winning souls to Jesus Christ. Now, that means God gives you a couple of different options on how to be faithful in soul winning and in souls to Jesus Christ. One is God will reward you for winning souls to Jesus Christ on a personal one-to-one level. That's great. Then on the other thing, God will give you other options that will allow you to win souls to Jesus Christ. And God will give you options like this. Okay, so one way you can qualify for winning souls to Jesus Christ is you can win somebody to Jesus Christ one-on-one in a conversation or personal one-on-one ministry. Okay, so You've qualified. But another way that God fully accepts, and it's just as equal in God's eyes for qualifying for winning souls to Jesus Christ, is if you choose to partner with a ministry that is legitimately winning souls to Jesus Christ through evangelism. A ministry, for example, like Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church. But there are other ministries. But you have to scrutinize. Because there's a lot of ministries out there that are not winning anybody to Christ and talking about it constantly. So, you qualify for winning souls to Christ when you do it directly, but you also qualify for winning souls to Christ when you do it indirectly, when you partner with a ministry that is winning souls to Jesus Christ, like our ministry, for example. And therefore, you get the soul winner's reward because you're partnering with a ministry like ours by being an intercessory prayer warrior for me, my family, people associated with this ministry, our outreach, the ministry itself. When you are an intercessory prayer warrior for the soul harvest we're bringing in, when you choose to, by faith, distribute the articles, the video, the audio, the prophetic emergency alerts, the Paul McGuire Report archive shows, when you distribute all the stuff that we produce, which is soul-winning stuff, and you send those links to your friends, every time you do that, and that lands into the heart and mind of somebody who's touched by the Holy Spirit, and then they end up receiving Christ, then you share in all the soul-winning rewards that we receive at this ministry. Through our video, through our audio, through our social media, et cetera, et cetera. You're a co-soul winner with us. You see? So you can be rewarded for indirect obedience as well as direct obedience. And then finally, in the area of finances. Finances are a critical area in spiritual warfare and evangelism. To say they're not critical is to lie. And the only people who get on the internet and other places and say, you know, money's not important, blah, 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 blah. The only people who say stuff like that are people who don't win anybody to Jesus Christ. The only people who say such foolish things as that are the people who have zero people that they've saved, either directly or indirectly. Because only a fool could say that. And no, I don't apologize for that, because souls are hanging in the balance. So only a fool could look at the world situation, could look at sex trafficking and all the rest of it. Only a fool could come up and spout out a word like, oh, you don't need money in evangelism. Well, look, my dear friend, who pays for the light bulb? Who pays for the cameras, the editing? Think, I don't know what you personally use in terms of chips for your computer, but the more gigabytes or megabytes in the chips, the more expensive they are. So you could get two chips, memory chips, you know, and that could cost you $80 if they had sufficient megabytes or gigabytes. It could easily cost you $80. So when a ministry like ours goes into a Staples or whatever, just to buy the very minimal amount of things we need to broadcast, etc., just to accomplish the minimal amount, we'll drop $500, $600 all the time. Why, you say? Because wireless mics go out notoriously. Professional studio lights blow out notoriously. You devour memory chips, external hard drives. Whenever you're producing stuff in high quality audio and high quality video, you are just devouring memory chips, external hard drives. You have no idea how fast you'll use stuff up. And that's just the beginning. Then you got to pay for some of the stuff you can get on for free, but most of it you got to pay for, because you still got to come up with the program. And then you still got to pay people who are professionals in their field to do their jobs. Because guess what? God has given me a lot of gifts, but I don't have every gift. And so in order to make the communication successful, you have to spend money. And this, all of this goes into effectively and strategically winning people to Jesus Christ. And when you do that, when you participate in that through prayer, through winning souls to Christ, through your financial donations, your contributions, et cetera, et cetera, you share in the Soul Winners Award in a big way. And don't be legalistic. You don't get the Soul Winners Award just because you personally led somebody to Christ. That's not always possible. You share in the Soul Winners crown or reward when you partner with the ministries like ours who effectively reach people for Jesus Christ. And I get emails and all kinds of communication telling me of how they came to Christ or returned to Christ. And it's a really blessing. But none of that is possible without your help. So visit paulmaguire.us. You can buy some of those books right now. And if you get them now, you get a financial discount at paulmaguire.us. Also, you can send as you know, we produce so much stuff for free. Send it out. Send it out. The day is going to come, my friends in America. Mark my words. You understand history. When you understand history, you know exactly where we're going, America. Just read my book, read my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. and read my brand new book that you can pre-order called Power from On High. In both of those books, you will read about the French Revolution becoming the mother of the communist Marxist revolution, and then what always happens in communist Marxist revolution countries. What always happens is Christians become the number one target, the number one group to destroy, murder, kill, locked away, always. It's not an accident. It's not. The only reason most Christians don't know that is because most Christians have absolutely no historical understanding of what's happening. But that's exactly what's happening. That's why what we're doing, now here's another critical thing, being a faithful watchman on the wall. God said to the faithful watchman, if you are faithful to stay awake and keep on the lookout for the enemy of my people sneaking up on my people, and if you see them coming before they attack and you blow the shofar, the trumpet of warning, and then you faithfully rouse my people from their slumber, and they fight back and successfully defeat the enemy, the Lord says, I am going to hold you as a faithful watchman. And that's what you want to be and what I want to be, a faithful watchman. And by the way, a faithful watchman is not just the person who blows the trumpet. A faithful watchman is the person who not only blows the trumpet, but partners with a ministry that is educating God's people and regularly blowing the trumpet. Again, you can get the reward for your own direct personal involvement or through partnering with a ministry that is a watchman on the wall ministry, as we are. Because every time you hear me go to the microphone and I spell out to you in detail what is coming towards us, how long it's going to be before it gets to us, and what it is that we can do about it, I am giving you a watchman on the wall warning, where God says to the watchman, if you're faithful, you see the enemy coming in from a distance, and if you're faithful to rouse my people by blowing the trumpet or the shofar, then the Lord says, I will not hold you, watchmen, I will not hold you accountable for all the blood spilt among my people. Because you were faithful to warn my people, I am not holding you accountable for the slaughter that occurred. It's really simple. And then he says to the leaders of God's people, that's the pastors and everybody else, he says, because you were not faithful to blow the shofar, to blow the trumpet of warning, because you were not faithful to rouse my people into battle against the enemy coming at them, the Lord says, because you were not faithful to wake them up, I am going to hold you accountable for all the blood that was spilled, all the slaughter that occurred. I'm holding you directly accountable. Because you were supposed to be looking at the enemy coming in from a distance, and you were supposed to be blowing the trumpet. Really simple. And this is not something that's discussed a lot in the church, because most of the church doesn't read the Bible. But it's critical. It's critical that there are thousands and thousands of ministries in the United States, in Europe, and other places that not only do effective evangelism, but they win people to Jesus Christ, that they do apologetics, that they disciple people in the Word of God, that they function as faithful watchmen on the wall, warning God's people of the danger coming. And there are ministries that do that, and I thank God for them. A lot of ministries that don't. But I do thank God that this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries in Paradise Mountain Church, we have been faithful to do all of these things for 40 years. And you want proof? I have copyrights on my books going back decades. Matter of fact, I'm in the studio now. I'll just turn around
just glance at the bookshelf, and you'll see a book. Let's see, where is it? Who Will Rule the Future? By Paul McGuire. Subtitle, A Resistance to the New World Order. So in Who Will Rule the Future, which was written about 20 years ago, I warned of the threat of the globalist elite. I warned of the threat of a global reset. I warned of the threat of persecution of Christians as the globalist elite moved into their one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. Now, I warned about this decades ago, and I've done that time after time after time after time. And the point of me saying this is not to pat myself on the back and say, whoop-de-doo, what a wonderful guy I am. No, that's not my purpose. My purpose is to say, I'm not perfect. That's my purpose. I'm not perfect, but I have been faithful. Have I been perfect in faithfulness? No. I don't know anybody who has. But I have been faithful. I have blown that trumpet in season and out of season. I have been bitterly persecuted for blowing the trumpet. Because you see, when God gives you a big watchman tower, which he's given me on numerous occasions, I hosted the largest, most listened to Christian talk radio program in the nation for over 10 years. It was called the Paul McGuire Report. It aired on every major AM and FM nationally syndicated radio program, 4 hours a day drive time. I had a monster audience. It was a monster program. And the interesting thing, there were all these rebellious pastors in California, Southern California especially. But it didn't matter that they were rebellious. They did not like what I had to say. And everything that I warned them of, by the way, everything that I warned them of, without exception, has come true. Things that they never would have believed would have been possible have all come true before their very eyes. These are big-name famous pastors. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. I could rattle off their names. You'd be shocked. These are the biggest of the biggest Christian leaders and pastors. And I would find out through the grapevine, basically their congregation. They would call my engineer, they write me and stuff, and they tell me they're attending so-and-so's church, a famous pastor, and how this pastor never blew the trumpet, never warned God's people. And then what was ironical is that God gave me such a powerful platform of dominating all the AM, FM stations. There wasn't one square inch in the state of California that you could go where our signal didn't blast into it. And the same is true for most of the areas of the nation. And I confronted them in love, intelligently. I got major Christian leaders on my show as guests to back me up, people like Dr. D. James Kennedy, Pat Robertson, James Dobson, so many notable pastors, Chuck Smith, joined me because I needed the stature of elder men of God to back me up. But I did not present to them, these pastors, a message of meanness. I simply told them the truth, based on research, based on statistics, based on documentation, of if they continued on in their present apathy, this was 30 years ago, if they continued on in their present apathy, and then I explained to them very clearly exactly what America would look like, exactly what challenges they would be facing. And the response that I got from a huge number of them, and even significant number of their people, was, oh no, this could never happen. He's exaggerating. This could never happen. I especially, because God says that in little children are precious in his eyes, and that if you cause a little child to stumble, it would be better for you that a rock was tied around
your neck and you were thrown into the ocean and drowned. I especially devoted many hours of airtime broadcasting a warning about what was going to be taught to our children in great detail. Now, I received horrific persecution. I also received great men of God standing up with me. But I did not back down. For 10 years, I did not back down. And I challenged them and I exhorted them and I pleaded with them to stand up as men of God, as shepherds, and to please stand up as the men of God that they are, and that they need to stand up and keep the wolves away from their flock. Now, many of these pastors hated me for issuing such warnings. There were many that praised God for me and stood with me. The point I'm trying to make is that here we are 20 years in the future, and you know what happened in the last 2 years. There are so many things that have happened in the last 20 years, so many things that have happened in the last 2 years, that just about every single one of us would have to say, I would never have believed it would have come to this. Not in my worst imagination did I ever conceive that things would come to this. And I hear that constantly. And the reason is that everything that I warned about that seemed so extreme and so unbelievable to these pastors and ministers and churches and ministries and seminaries, all the things that I said that seemed, oh, a conspiracy theory. Let me give you the report card, okay? Again, the purpose is not to boast in and of myself. The purpose is to say, everybody has a track record, folks. My track record is on tape, audio, video, and copyright book dates. I can tell you what I said and when. And I warned the men of God, the ministries, the big churches in Southern California. I warned them day after day after day after day. Logically, rationally, historically, spiritually. I appealed to them. I begged them to stand up, and they refused to stand up. Every issue that came up that required that the churches take a stand, that required that the pastors take a stand, every issue that came up, they were nowhere to be found. They were hiding. They refused, out of cowardice, they refused to deal with it. They turned the other way. They always wanted to play it safe. And I'll give you my assessment. You may not like it, but you tell me the issue is not whether you like what I'm saying right now. The issue is this. Is what I'm telling you now based on fact and truth? Because it is. What I'm telling you now is based on fact and truth. The overwhelming majority of the pastors, the churches, the big ministries refused to get involved, refused to stand up for Christian rights, refused to look at the real world. And as a result, the enemies of God's people move more aggressively and more aggressively and more aggressively and began to attack, take away the freedoms, force Christian children to now. I warned the pastors. I had a very powerful platform. This isn't bragging. I was on 4 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sometimes they repeat my program in the state of California, one 3 hour segment right after another 3 hour segment. That's 6 hours drive time, where I spelled out in detail what was going to happen if Christian pastors continued to be apathetic and did nothing. So they all heard the warning. And I said to them, that I was polite. I was careful about what I said. But I warned them of what was already coming in terms of the hardcore quadruple X-rated sex education that Christian children would be forced to receive in the school systems, that they would be forced to watch X-rated movies with internet video links and read X-rated books and X-rated magazines, that Christian children would be forced to participate in these activities. I warned them that this would happen, that it was inevitable.
You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. We're looking back in time about 20 years ago or more. It's actually more than that. And I was hosting what was called the Paul McGuire Show at that time, which was 3 to 4 hours per day drive time all over the state of California, Northern California, Southern California, and in major markets across the United States of America, AM and FM. It was one of the most listened to Christian talk radio programs in the nation, and with one of the largest audiences, one of the largest interactive Christian talk radio audiences. And we featured everything from many highly notable major Christian leaders, guest experts, and then commentary, analysis, Bible teaching from me. Now, here's the thing. Because I had spent so many years prior to doing this radio program writing books on what was going to happen to the future in America, and not only did I do an enormous amount of study and research, it was my burden. It was my supernatural burden from the Holy Spirit. In addition to that, I wrote numerous books on the subjects that basically captured it all. For example, one of the most famous of the books that I wrote was called Who Will Rule Tomorrow? Subtitle, A Resistance to the New World Order. And in that book, I basically warned from the Bible, from the warning of a biblical worldview, I warned exactly what was going to happen to America, how long it would take, and what the forces would be that would bring America down internally. And I exposed these forces in meticulous detail. Now, I wrote that book because of my conscience, as I write all of my books. I do not write my books for the number one objective of making money. It would be nice if I made money when I write a book. But you see, money has never been my end game, my final goal. It's not that money isn't important. Money is important. But my final goal has always been, and is up until this moment, accomplishing what God has called me to do effectively. And so in the book, Who Will Rule the Future, I basically go through my intensive research and analysis and knowledge of history and knowledge of totalitarian governments and knowledge of mind control and propaganda, et cetera, et cetera. And I spell out in simple terms for the reader that based on the particular trajectory America is headed in, that within 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, I give a very clear picture of what America will become. And it's a very sober warning based on the warnings of history.
Now, that was the number one objective of the book, to function as a faithful watchman on the wall. And so God has put me, by his grace, in what I would call a watchman's high tower, the high tower of a watchman, because being the host of this particular radio program, the Paul McGuire Report, I find myself in an elevated position where I'm able to look upon the advances of the enemy that are attempting to encroach upon God's people. I didn't know it when I walked through the doors of the radio studio that the radio studio does provide an elevated platform from which to view the spiritual battle. Why? Why is that? Because of perspective. When you're in the radio studio, you're participating in things that the average listener, the average viewer, can't participate in. And by that I mean, you've got faxes just rolling all the time, emails, newsletters, books. You're kind of like in the center of a communications hub, and there's a constant download of information coming across your desk. That changes your perspective over everything. It changes your perspective into a global spiritual battle, and you can see it very clearly. Now, at the time God gave me this job, God assigned me the position as host of the Paul McGuire show. There were a whole series of major battles involving a Judeo-Christian worldview and what would happen to our families, our children, and our nation if those values from a Judeo-Christian worldview were to be stomped upon, so to speak. And so I was in the middle of it all. And I am not one that seeks confrontation for the sake of confrontation. I am not one that seeks a kind of pseudo-spiritual militancy. I would much prefer conducting myself with wisdom, integrity, knowledge, because knowledge gives power. So that's my preference, being strategic and being effective. But I knew, you know, this is like after 25 to 30 years of research. I wrote articles for John Whitehead and the Rutherford Institute, where he talked about where America would be, you know, 10, 20 years from now. And I read and studied this stuff. I was a disciple of Dr. Francis Schaeffer, who analyzed this stuff and explained where we would be in the near future. And I could see very clearly that unless God powerfully, supernaturally intervened, that literally all hell was going to break loose on the United States of America, and specifically all hell was going to break loose on the body of Christ, on the true supernatural body of Christ in America. And that was a very, very serious thing to me, and something that I perceived and held with the utmost gravity. And so everywhere I looked and everywhere I studied, I came up with the exact same answer, which was, if God's people are going to ignore the historical precedent, if God's people are going to ignore history and science and government and the knowledge of revolutions, etc., etc., then God's people are going to be brought into, inevitably, captivity, slavery of one sort or another. God's people will be made captives. And then, out of a desire to help the body of Christ, not out of a desire to be a self-appointed Messiah, but out of a desire to serve the body of Christ, I endeavored to teach the body of Christ, to communicate to Christian leadership, pastors, seminary professors, other kinds of Christian leaders. I did everything I could to strategically and effectively communicate with them, reason with them, educate them based on history and historical precedent, and review with them exactly what was going to happen based on the firm historical precedent. Now, when we look at the history of totalitarian regimes and propaganda and mind control and hypnosis and totalitarianism, we see the same forces repetitively at work and at play. These same forces are that there is always a dilution of Christian truth. There is also always a surrendering of Christian truth among God's people. And in a slow but very deadly way, the people of God succumb to an all-out attack, which in effect brings them down and destroys them in a very vicious way. And after decades of study, I was convinced that this was never an option that was acceptable to God, that being brought down into captivity in this horrific way was never, never, ever the plan that God had for his people. God's plan for his people was a plan of victory, a plan of conquest, a plan of turning the tides in the spiritual battle, and a plan for restitution and victory and freedom. Plain and simple. So now I stand before you once again in a studio before a microphone, and I'm coming before you with a reminder. The purpose of the reminder is not to remind you what a fabulous person I am or what a fabulous memory I have. That isn't even worth talking about. The reason I'm talking to you now is because after over 40 years of intensive historical, spiritual, sociological study, I see certain embedded patterns starting to repeat themselves in our nation, in our land. And if these embedded repetitive patterns start to repeat themselves, we are going to enter an arena of disaster, of repetition, and of succumbing to a vicious series of attacks. That's how dangerous it is. So what do we do once again? What do we do? Where do we go from here? That is the ultimate question. And so we must recognize where we are in history. We must repent before the living God in true repentance, asking him to forgive us of all of our sins, asking him to come into our lives and breathe his fresh life on us, and asking him alone, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to restore the path that our feet must walk on and give us a second chance based on grace or unmerited favor. So we're in this position. Now, the last time we went through this scenario, the last time we went through this timing, God's people suffered horribly. God's people suffered with incredible brutality. God's people wept and wailed as they lost families, possessions, money, ministries, and many other things. There was horrible losses among the armies of Israel, if you will. And so we're approaching such a season. Why? We're approaching such a season because we've come full cycle, and we've come to the beginning of a repetition of cycles. And now we need to apply the lessons we say that we've learned. We need to really dig in there and truly apply the lessons that we say we learned. And that means we must bring front and center the lessons, the true deep lessons of our faith. And that means we must pick up wings as eagles, run and not be fiery, run and not be weary, walk and not faint, and receive that rejuvenation of the Holy Spirit of God. When a man or a woman repents before God, when a man or a woman repents before the throne room of God, God breathes fresh life into their lives. He brings about a powerful spiritual restoration. He brings about a powerful spiritual renewal. And for that, we can say, praise the Lord. So we seek the face of God, and this time we seek the face of God with a fresh perspective, with a fresh vision, with a fresh perception, and we ask God to lead us according to His will and according to His glory. Praise the Lord. And so now we choose to enter into the spiritual battle, not with leftover weapons and leftover spiritual warfare. We cease to enter the battle with brand new spiritual weapons and brand new instruments of spiritual battle. And we declare before the Most High God, and we need to declare it. We declare before the Most High God that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that He is the great I Am, and that He travels with the angelic armies, and He will fight the battle on our behalf. And so we can reemerge into the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world, but we immerse ourselves in it with a determination, with a steadfastness of total victory. We refuse, absolutely, we refuse to entertain or toy with any idea, any notion, any philosophy, or any belief that would allow us to indulge ourselves in the wellsprings of apathy. We are commanded by God, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we are commanded by God for this hour to seize the time, to possess the land, and that we shall do. We shall do that with 100% commitment. And God will then pour out the power of His Holy Spirit. God will break every yoke. God will dismantle every stronghold, and when there is no way, God will make a way. So victory can be ours, and we don't have to enter at this late time in history. We no longer have to enter this nauseating, repetitive cycle of spiritual battle in conjunction with spiritual weariness. Victories from the Lord, the Bible says, and we can be victorious. The key thing is to learn the lessons from the past and reapply them. I'm Paul McGuire. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I need you to recognize the lateness of the hour. I need you to recognize where we are in real space-time history. I need you to recognize the fact that we are indeed in the greatest spiritual battle for the hearts and souls of mankind in the history of the world. And so, as spiritual warriors, we need to collectively call out to Jesus Christ with passionate hearts. We need to be filled with overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to claim the land that God has told us to claim. And when we do those things, we can count on a synergistic relationship, a synergistic power flow from the different elements that God puts together before He gives His people victory. So I want to ask you to join me 100% in the spiritual battle. I'm asking you to join me as a spiritual warrior. I'm asking you to join me as a warrior of God and as a prophet of God and as a man or woman of God. I'm asking you to join me. I'm asking you to perceive yourself as a giant and to perceive the so-called giants as grasshoppers. And visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Visit paulmcguire.us. Take advantage of all our free Roku channel programming. Take advantage of all our free Roku channel video, audio programming, and saturate your mind or renew your mind with it in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that without vision, the people perish. So when we are moving about without vision, without a clarity, a supernatural clarity of mind that shows us what direction to go in, we're in a sense flying by the seat of our pants and moving in a visionless dynamic. And that's not what God called us to do. So I want to encourage you to go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And I want to ask you to take advantage of the hundreds of hours of programming on our Roku channel at paulmcguire.us, all the hundreds of hours of video teaching at paulmcguire.us, the hundreds of hours of audio teaching in the archives of the Paul McGuire Report. And remember, we have books, we have videos, we have audio, we have conferences, we have hundreds of hours of Bible teaching and preaching at Paradise Mountain Church, all designed to supernaturally strengthen you in the supernatural faith of Jesus Christ. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.